This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Yes, it is. Pomp and Joe without Joe's on vacation, and Austin Bechtold is behind the glass. You can reach him and eventually reach me at 412-928-9370. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And the Fan Twitter site is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Now it's time for one of our favorite guests, Mr. Dan Zangrilli.
Oh, come on. You have so many. I can't be. Bob?
You are.
No way.
You're one of our favorite guests because you know a lot about baseball. You do a post-game show that's must-listen to, especially the way the Pirates are going. I mean, it's ups and downs. It's all around. It seems like that six-game win streak and the way they won and how dominant they were is 6 years ago already based on what's happened.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate. And thank you, Bob. I enjoy chatting it up with you guys here every Wednesday. I'm not mystified because, you know, what's that old saying when, you know, somebody tells you who they are, believe them. And the Pirates, you know, over many, many games this year have told us who they are. And, you know, the six-game homestand, I guess, it was a bit of a mirage. I was really impressed by that Cardinals series. The Mets, you could probably poke some holes in it considering, you know, they brought a guy back off a 90-minute rain delay. He wasn't particularly sharp. And then the other guy that they faced, he's had some issues, especially with injury. And there's been all sorts of attrition. They got the Mets at the right time. So I don't want to diminish anything that happened on that homestand. The Cardinal series was great. But, you know, what they have not been able to do on the road, they have just 12 wins all year away from PNC Park. They're five games over 500 at PNC, Bob. They're 26-21. But for whatever reason, it's really becoming a thing here. The fact that they are channeling basically the Colorado Rockies with their road record, which is alarming.
It really is. I mean, you don't expect that given the way they played at home. There have been a lot of close games on the road, too, and they haven't come up with hits, two in Seattle like that. That all they needed was one big hit, and they couldn't do it. And I felt bad once again for Mitch Keller. Last night he pitched a good game, a quality start. Now, he gave up a home run at the worst possible time. But still, he was in a position to win a game based on the fact he gave up a couple of runs. Anytime you do that, it's listed as quality starts. He has to be one of the leaders in quality starts in the majors this year, isn't he not?
He is, if I'm not mistaken, and not having it off the top of my head. I think he's a top five guy as far as sheer volume of quality starts. That's why I want to hang on to him, not to jump ahead. If you had something else up your sleeve, that's why I want to keep him around in a Pirates uniform, if at all possible. But yeah, you can even see last night, Don Kelly, in an effort to try to reward him and get him a win, because, you know, he at the time, you know, was getting some leash there. It was a tie game. Kelly's hoping that he's going to be able to get out of things in that seventh inning. He's not able to. He serves up the go-ahead home run. Eventually has to take him out after whatever it was, 6 2/3. So this is his life. This is what he's used to. It's night after night after night. He gives them everything that he can and has been given very little in return in the way of run support. And it's a shame because, you know, he shouldn't be a 10-loss, now 11-loss pitcher to that end. Or I guess he didn't factor in the decision, I suppose. But you know what I mean there. This is a tough year from that standpoint. But I give him credit. If you listen to every one of his post-game interviews, Bob, there's not even been a hint of frustration, not even in the tone of his voice, not even in the facial expression. He stayed above it all. I don't know if Mitch Keller 5 years ago does that. He's been a consummate professional about it. He's not thrown his team or teammates under the bus because I think, you know, listen, you know, when you're, you know, your record is something that you take very seriously as a pitcher, even though it's not valued as much as it nearly has been in the past. And it means a lot. And the fact that he's doing his part and everything and everyone around him, they're not holding up their end of the bargain. A lot of times that frustration, it boils over. It'll boil over publicly. With Keller, it hasn't one bit. So I really tip my hat to how he's been a consummate pro this whole year on the field and really off of it in many respects.
I think you can say the same for Paul Skenes. He knows what he's dealing with. He's been victimized by lack of offense just about more than anyone, and yet he comes out of the game. I'm just curious about the 78 pitches, Dan. You may have talked about this, and I missed your take. But when I saw after five innings the other day where he was rolling along after that shaky first inning, which he got bailed out by O'Neill Cruz in that throw to the plate and a good tag by Henry Davis, he was just chalking him up. 10 strikeouts in five innings, looked to be in total command, and yet he was taken out of the game. And then I heard an explanation that it was trying to figure out a way for him to get to the All-Star game, and I had a problem with that. Did you?
Well, no. And I don't know if it's solely the All-Star game. I don't want any of that frustration that anybody has about what they're doing with him to be misguided in thinking that the Pirates are arranging the deck chairs all around that. That they've done this last handful of starts, and I think this is more so taking a look at the big picture. The guy's leading the league in innings. He threw, 160 last year, which really isn't a whole heck of a lot. They don't want to see a hockey spike in his workload. You want to, over time, graduate guys, 20, 25, maybe 30. You're really getting red line area if you're pushing 35 innings from their previous year's total. They call it, I believe, the Verducci rule. There's a lot of data that basically supports that the year prior workload, and if you're able to have a huge spike in innings the following year, there is a propensity for some serious injury. And so if we're going to sit here and talk about the Paul Skenes window and doing everything that you can within this Skenes window to try to maximize it in the way of adding offense, I think you also have to, it would be contradictory to not be as judicious as you possibly can to keep him as healthy as you can within said window. So I think this is more so looking at what he's pacing for heading towards the end of the year, leading the league in innings. I think he's going to blow by this 160 mark, and he'd be well over 200 innings. Well, you're getting into that red line territory, and if you're to push the envelope with him night after night after night after night, and there's always going to be with this club a win on the table that's hanging out there, and every game that not only Skenes pitches, that Keller pitches, the Pirates are going to be within a run. The game's going to be 1-1 in the sixth inning, right? It's not going to be decided by the time that you have to make a decision as a manager. So considering where the Pirates are at in the standings, and Don Kelly even acknowledged this in his pregame chat a few days ago with reporters, that, you know, that they need to be judicious here. And he, in so many words, referenced their record and where the math is. I think you absolutely put a governor on Skenes. I don't think you shut him down. I think you do much of what you did last year, because they were very free and easy with Skenes as far as the innings are concerned. A lot of sevens, a few eights out there. They pushed the envelope. They gave him those extra innings. Well, you can't do that over the course of 32 starts. You can do it here and there. The Pirates have already done it in respects with when they were going to grab their extra inning or grab their extra two out of him. Well, now, considering where the math is, record and standings, you gotta take care of this guy. And maybe you skip a start. Maybe you see a few more of these outings. You get him on track to a point where his total workload at the end of September is not in a dangerous spot where he is then susceptible to injury. Because, well, then, everything that we've been talking about, hoping for, ranting and raving, Bob, it basically goes up in smoke.
Yeah, Dan, and I totally agree with what you said, but on this specific day when he was mowing people down five innings, like you said, you could skip a start, you can do some things when it's clear that he's, you know, his pitch count is way ahead and maybe they're not in a game or whatever the case may be, but he's always in a game. And that may be the biggest sign that he's racking up the innings because he's in every game, and so he's going to be out there as long as he can. But that specific day, I thought the way he was pitching seemed like there was no stress on him at all, and I would have expected at least one more inning on that particular day. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
And listen, you're right, and it's not unreasonable to think that, but the scenario that you're painting, that's going to be every day, every start with this guy, every scenario with this offense, right, where they're not going to ever build him, practically speaking, a six-run lead where you're going to be able to take him out in the fourth inning, or very, very few are the occasions where his pitch count is all out of whack and he's getting, you know, knocked around the ballpark. So the scenario that you're perhaps hoping for or anticipating in the future probably will never come. I think you got to take care of the guy, you know, in the here and the now. And he, everything centers and revolves around him. Any plans or any hopes or punchers' chances that they have in this, let's call it 2-year window, maybe even it's a 1-year window, the way that the rhetoric is forming around the collective bargaining agreement in 2027, you know, that they want to make sure that he is in play for 2026. And I know a lot of folks are going to point to Nolan Ryan and 40 years ago, and this was never an issue back then. I get that, but we don't live in that world anymore at all. And I think that there's enough data points and enough unfortunate examples. I'll give you one. Jameson Taillon. Mm-hmm. 2017, Bob, look at his workload. 2018, look at his big jump in workload. The Pirates were pushing for, you know, some postseason aspirations. They finished with 82 wins. Well, what happened to Jameson Taillon in 2019? I think that's a really good case study that was very much underreported. There was a huge jump in his workload, and I think that's the type of stuff that you have to avoid with Skeens, because that's the stuff that's within your control. That's just being a good steward by the best asset that you've maybe had in your franchise's history.
So last night we saw Isaac Matza come in the ninth inning with one out, first and third, after Santana got himself into a little bit of a mess. It seems to me that Isaac Mattson is moving into Donnie Kelly's high-leverage situations more and more and more. And he's met most of those challenges. Last night I thought was a difficult one just because he inherited that situation. But overall, do you think he's moving into that area to be a, if not a closer, at least somebody they could rely on in the eighth inning?
You think? I mean, that was – I spent a lot of time on the post-game show discussing it, and I wish – you know, questions were asked of Don Kelly as to what he was thinking in his mindset as to not only, you know, keeping Keller out there, but how he went about the bullpen usage from bringing Santana back out for a second inning. They had Bednar loosening to not using Bednar, to going to Mattson over Bednar. That showed me a ton. The fact that, you know, David Bednar didn't pitch in a tie game in the ninth inning on the road. He's the National League reliever of the month, right, for June. And to answer your question specifically about Mattson, you felt comfortable to be able to go to him over Bednar because you felt that, and I'm assuming, and I don't want to put words in Don Kelly's mouth here, that I feel so confident in this guy that I love my chances. I can actually keep my closer in play, assuming that Mattson's going to come through here, and if we get a run in the 10th inning, well, I've got my closer to be able to, on the road, to get the final three outs in the bottom half of an inning. That's very much an unconventional, modern way of managing. They managed that way 25 years ago. You held your closer back because you would potentially need him on the road to get the, whether it's the bottom of the ninth or the bottom of the 10th, 11th, etc. But he is, let's put it this way, by this measure that Don Kelly showed us last night, he holds Mattson, I think, in the same regard as one of his top-tier, high-leverage guys that clearly, with the game on the line, he does not at all hesitate to going to, and that may mean even going to Mattson over Bednar, which is a huge shot in the arm, a huge vote of confidence, I would think, for Isaac Mattson.
No question about it. Getting back to what you said earlier, and Dan Zangrilli is our special guest here, about Mitch Keller. You made it clear that you don't want to trade him. What would it take for you to change your mind?
Well, I'm not completely against it. I am, I think, against trading anybody that isn't on an expiring contract or a reliever. And when I say this, I'll talk about Bednar and Santana specifically because they have an extra year of control. I don't feel, unless the Pirates are completely overwhelmed here, that there needs to be this sense of urgency at the deadline to be making these deals on some of these really valuable guys. Keller, let's say Reynolds is part of a trade talk equation, or even Hayes. I really don't see a scenario where you're getting the best return on July 31st. That may be on November 30th or December 15th. So it's not so much that I'm, and I don't, I mean, if I had my druthers about it, I don't want to trade Keller because of the things that we mentioned. He's a walking, talking quality start. He's as consistent as they come. But I have hesitation, especially at the trade deadline, because the biggest returns are typically when we're talking about guys with control or really marquee guys. You get, I think, a better haul historically when doing these deals in the offseason or at the winter meetings, because a lot of the teams that are in contention, you know, they don't want to subtract from their roster to give you guys. I would love to see a bona fide bat. And when I say a bona fide bat, it's a bat with major league experience. I'm not sure I necessarily want to take what is now turning out more and more to be a flyer, even on these highly productive AAA guys. Jack Sawinski is a prime example of this, Bob. The transition from AAA to the big leagues. Why do we want to take on, even though they're promising, maybe they're top 10 prospects in the other team's organization, maybe they're being blocked in an organization and they have a bright future, maybe they do pan out and they turn out to be guy. Why do you have to take on that risk? Because I think that there's more risk now in today's game than ever before of trying to take on a AAA guy that is darn near close to being big league ready. I want to see the Pirates, if at all possible, and I think the possibility of this happening is in the offseason more so than it is July 31st, of them trading big leaguers for big leaguers to solve their needs. So I don't want to see Keller go, number one, because you subtract big time out of your rotation. I don't want to see Keller go at the deadline for the reasons that I just laid out, because I don't feel, and I could be wrong here, that you are getting the best return for him. You don't need to be in a hurry to do this. You can wait 4 months, and perhaps that patience will serve you well to position yourself much better going into 26.
Two things on that, Dan. So one, do you also feel that way because of who is making the ultimate trades? And don't you think that opposing teams will panic, or at least there'll be at least one that panics and will overpay at the deadline compared to in the offseason? I think about it like, what, the Penguins not trading Ricard Raquel, and now it seems like, oh, well, they could get a return. Maybe it'll be decent, but maybe not as good as the deadline. Do you?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
See it? You don't see it that way.
No, because what I want to see is I want to see a bona fide bat returned to the Pirates that is big league ready. And at the trade deadline, teams that are in contention and fighting for whether it's the final wild card spot or whether it's the division title, they're not going to want to give you a bona fide bat because it's going to be subtracting from the current makeup of their roster. If we're talking about bona fide big leaguers that you're going to be getting back in return, an opposing GM will say, well, yeah, I've got this guy that's not helping my big league club right now. He's the AAA guy that, you know, we think he has a bright future. He's a top 10 guy. You know, we have him projected in our 26 lineup. Well, I would otherwise be amenable to that. But Austin, as we've seen here, whether it's from Henry Davis or Jack Suwinski or others, look at Caglione, how badly he's struggling for Kansas City. We've seen so many examples around the league of this chasm, this inability to graduate to the big league level, and it takes years sometimes. And the Pirates don't have years. They have a 4 or 5 year window on the players, so they need something or someone that is turnkey that hits the ground running. No, I'm not factoring in the current general manager making the particular decision here or thinking there could be a change in that regard in the offseason. That's not part of the calculus. I just think it's what the market is going to bear on July 31st versus what the market is going to bear on December 15th.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. All right, if we discount Keller in this, at some point, something has to be made here, and I don't know if this is the right time to do it or it has to be next year in the offseason, which is something they didn't do this past offseason. If there's a guy on this team who you think can bring in a big return at the trade deadline, and when I'm talking about big return, it doesn't necessarily have to be four starting players. You know what I'm saying? Somebody is there someone out there the teams would be looking to? Besides Skeens and Keller, let's take those guys out of the conversation. Who would you look to get the most in a return?
And are you talking about one of the guys that's under control, Bob?
Anyone on the roster, under control or not?
Obviously, you know, a Reynolds or a Keller is going to fetch you, I guess, the biggest return. But again, going back to my point, it's not going to be as big a return, or it's not going to be the instantaneous offense I think that the Pirates would be looking for. So I think you're going to get a return on Keller and or Reynolds or any of these guys that you would deal July 31st, but I just don't think, again, it's going to be nearly as good in December. But I think, you know, I'll just take, because let's call the four guys on expiring contracts, Heaney, IKF, Frazier, and Tommy Pham. They're as good as gone, right? I think IKF, of those four, will probably fetch you the biggest return. When we're looking at this thing on August 1 and we're evaluating everything that the Pirates have gotten here, we unwrap these presents on Christmas morning. I think the favorite present that we'll have is whatever the IKF deal yields, because offense is a premium. Everybody wants it. Probably in many respects more so than pitching. Heaney, but it's, you know, he's been a flip of the coin. His home and road splits are really drastic. I mean, if Pham keeps this up, that could be something that's really good. But I would say IKF, practically speaking, when we're looking back on this and assuming they don't deal Bednar or Santana, I think IKF is going to fetch a really, really nice piece because of all the gloves that he can wear. If somebody gets hurt, it's a professional at bat. He basically completes your lineup. If you're just missing that one piece as a competitor, think of how the Pirates were in 13. You know, you needed that one piece, that little cherry on the top that turned out to be maybe like a Marlon Byrd or a Justin Morneau. I think IKF could be that guy for a lot of teams. And then you factor in all that position flexibility. I feel clubs would overpay for that.
I know how your stance is on pitching depth, and I agree with it because I think it's one thing to say, well, look at this depth that's on paper. It's another thing to look at these guys and say a lot of them are unproven, so we really don't know. But having said that, would you be at all agreeable to trading a Bubba Chandler if you got the right deal in return?
I guess, yeah. I mean, with the caveat being, well, what is the return?
That's a good question.
Is it turnkey, big league, bona fide talent that makes your offense better instantaneously, that you don't have to wait? We don't have to develop it. You know, it can parachute in here, and it can, the day that it walks through the clubhouse doors, make your lineup deeper and better and do so on a nightly basis consistently. That's what the Pirates need, period, end of sentence. And you should be able and willing to make any deals for that to occur. I don't want to see them, if at all possible, to take on any sort of risk. Well, you know, there's this guy that, you know, we really like, and we think that he has some really high upside, maybe higher upside than the guy that we would get with the sure thing. And I want somebody that can get them to 4 runs per game, period, end of sentence, without cannibalizing the pitching depth. How do I do that? I mean, that's, you know, I'm probably smoking something, but it's, you know, yeah, I would absolutely consider it, assuming that you get a bona fide big league bat that's going to, you know, really move the needle here in a big way.
Is that just one guy, though, Dan? I feel like it has to be two.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah, there's not one big, you know, magic bullet here at all. The lineup needs to be lengthened. It needs to be better. It needs to perform as it did in the 6-0 homestand. If you watch the at-bats and if you looked at the contributors, much of the damage done in that 6-0 homestand, guys, against the Mets and Cardinals were the 7, 8, and 9 hitters. It was Hayes coming up with the two-out, two-strike hits that extended innings that instead of getting nothing, they wind up getting 5, you know, in that first inning in one of the games against the Mets. Hayes fights off a 2-2 pitch with 2 outs, a 2-run single. Those things are pennies from heaven. Well, then you get back-to-back home runs following that, and then all of a sudden the game's over. It's a 5-run first inning, and forget about it. Davis chimes in with a 4-for-4 game. All of the unsuspecting characters, the guys that we have been clamoring for to help this club, you need to lengthen your lineup. But no, when we're talking, but you also do need a consistent RBI guy that is going to hit 4th, that it's going to hit 5th, that you can just count on, look to in those key situations, that is going to always find a way to come through and that will post up for 150 games a year. That's what this offense needs, whether that's a third baseman, whether that's a right fielder, who knows, but that's what this club needs. And sure, there has to be better supporting actors around him. And those can be internal, but maybe you know, potpourri those in at a little bit of a lower cost.
One final thing before we let you go here, Dan, and that would be O'Neill Cruz. Can he win the home run derby now that he's in it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, we're talking, I mean, they don't throw sliders from the left side.
yeah, you both swing and miss.
Yeah. I mean, if Steven Morales puts it on his barrel, you're going to, yes. I mean, I would say he would have as good an opportunity as anybody, whether you had a full roster of participation and he were among the participants, Alonso, Judge, Otani. I feel that the Cruz, when we're talking about batting practice here, not a game, batting practice. That it would, yeah, his tools are as good, and this is it's a skills competition at the end of the day.
Right.
And I don't think anybody can debate that he has some of, if not the best tools of anyone on planet Earth.
No question about it. Dan, always good stuff. Appreciate it. What time are you on the air tonight?
Well, I'm actually going to take I'm banging this one off, and then I don't know. It's probably Hathorn or somebody.
Okay, but, I see Jeff in here. I thought.
Yeah, I'm gonna hibernate here for the All-Star break, and then I'll be back with you here. For
well
the
deserved. Series. Well deserved. Dan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's Dan Zangrilli, host of the pre- and post-game shows, although it looks like Jeff Hathorn will be in that hot seat tonight.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Bob Pompeiani back with you. Joe Starkey on vacation. Austin Bechtel behind the glass. And you can reach him at 412-928-9370. And I'd love to hear your thoughts about breakout players for the Pittsburgh Steelers, offensively and defensively. You know they've brought in a lot of big names. But what player that we're really not talking about right now has to have that breakout season? Austin, I'll start. And we're going to go offense first and then defense. Or however you want to do it. I'll start with defense, just because I think the guy I'm really looking forward to this year, and I think he's going to have a big year, is Peyton Wilson.
Okay.
I think that guy is due to emerge as an inside linebacker who not only can make tackles when necessary, but he can run side to side better than most if he's healthy. And we saw last year when he was healthy what he's capable of doing. So I'm looking forward to him having a breakout year.
So we can't use like a rookie in this instance. Like I can't say Harmon's going to have a breakout year because he's a rookie, and it's not like a
someone who's been here that we haven't really. Yeah,
kind of like a most improved.
Yeah.
Award.
You know
from
how
like
Tomlin always talks about
year.
Year two, we look for this sort of improvement. Who of those players do you think can be that guy?
Well, I hope it's Joey Porter Jr. That's what I'm really hoping ends up being the case. I'm with you on Peyton Wilson, where he's probably the most likely guy to take that jump, especially because, yeah, they signed Malik Harrison, and yeah, I mean, they have Cole Holcomb coming back, but I think it's probably with Landon Roberts out the door, the Peyton Wilson and Patrick Queen middle linebacking core.
Another right? guy who's been around, but you saw little, instances where he could be dominant, or at least a player who makes plays, is Mark Robinson.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's ever
going to
get
teams.
A chance, though. You know, you got all these guys ahead of him now, including Malik Harrison, who you just mentioned.
Yeah, and he's kind of undersized.
Yes, but he does make plays. And on special teams, I think he's shown that he's capable of doing that.
This will be contingent on injuries, Bob. I really like Nick Herbig. I have been somebody that's been really big on Herbig, where if they've wanted to move Highsmith to acquire a piece, whether it's a wide receiver or draft capital or just move money off the books, I would be okay with them doing that. Now, Highsmith is a very good run defender. You would lose some ability there because when Highsmith was out and Herbig was the starter, we did see Herbig get a little bit exposed. And he didn't seem like he was ready for that starting role just yet, and that he was good as like a third pass rusher that could come in situations, especially when fresh, and be able to get to the quarterback because he's got some good moves to him.
Well, that would also be predicated on what happens with TJ Watt. And I think we all are probably looking at him signing at some point. But if he is really determined to get the number one defensive money on the board, you know, and I wonder why every player has to have that as an agenda item. You know, because if TJ Watt can feel, and I think he is the best at what he does, but most of the national people look at Myles Garrett and say he's better. So based on that, does TJ Watt deserve to have it based on those national feelings that he's not as good as, and I think that's the wrong way to think of it. I think TJ Watt is a much better player, not much better, but better than Myles Garrett. But why does he have to have that sort of contract to be happy?
Well, it's all about ego, I guess.
I know it's all about
the boys' club.
Why?
I got to one up, you know.
But it's
going to
last
other.
For 2 minutes. Then
I don't think they care. They don't care. I mean, I want the then and now. I want to be the highest paid now, and then if somebody comes and surpasses
Micah Parsons,
me,
a day later becomes the highest paid guy.
It was a good 24 hours. That's just how they think. You know, they want to be. I think that they want to be paid as the best to prove they are the best. Because I guess in that circle, like. You know, it might be different for me, Bob, because you're up there with the millionaire club, some of the players. So they want to be able to have that feeling, I guess, of I'm the highest paid guy.
But
I'm the most respected.
He gets enough respect. You know, again, to me, it would be just what, you know, if you like being here, if you like what's going on, he said it 100 times. If they're offering somewhat close to that, but not as much as, what's the difference? I just don't understand it, but then again, I'm not him, and I'm not thinking of it probably the way he is. He is motivated by Myles Garrett. I don't think there's any question about that. He took offense to the fact in 2023, Myles Garrett got Defensive Player of the Year when he should not have. It was clear to me that Watt should have won that, and ever since then, he's been, you know, he doesn't show up at some of their honor programs they have because of it. If
he
knows
he wasn't
he's not
there at the award
it.
Show when they honored Cam Hayward for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, he wasn't there.
So, you know, to me, that's unnecessary, but the way. All right, quickly on offense before we go to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. A player that you're looking at who's going to come in here or who's been here who can take a jump. I'm going to go with Roman Wilson because I have to. Is that your choice?
I am too. And, you know, they're very high on Roman Wilson, and they think that Roman Wilson coming back off of last year with the injury no longer a factor and more time to be able to learn the offense – can be able to factor into this offense. Like they picked him in the third round for a reason. They clearly believe in Roman Wilson. Now, what was shown last year from him does not prove that there, you know, should be much belief outside of what we saw in college, because that was basically a redshirt year.
Right.
So it's going to be tough, Bob. Like, how's he going to factor in with Aaron Rodgers, who hasn't necessarily done well with younger receivers either?
Well, you factor in by just doing it on you know, practice fields everywhere in Latrobe and show that you can. And if the quarterback believes in you, then he's going to go to him. Because Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys who I think will find you if you show him that you're going to work hard to get open and he can look down the field and see your number available. 412-928-9370. Let's go to the phone lines. We have Brian, I believe, in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, Bob?
What's up?
So, a couple of things I want to touch on about the Steelers, and then something really quick about Cruz. One, I'm really glad that they actually didn't go with Justin Fields. I think it had a potential to set them back even a more couple years because they were banking on his potential, so they might have given him too much of a leash and then kind of not progressed on with what they're doing now with having Rodgers 1 year and then pulling the Band-Aid off, hopefully, and moving forward to the future. Two, I think for on defense, I think Keanu Benton should and could be the breakout star. He had a really good rookie year.
Good pick.
And then I think he's a huge key to if he can play up to the potential to being the anchor on that defensive line. And then offensively, Calvin Austin, I think, showed me last year that, yeah, I do agree he's a more of a slot receiver, but some of the catches he made and the punishment he took, you know, afterwards kind of showed me that he has that grit and that toughness to kind of take a step forward.
Yeah, as far as Benton is concerned, Brian, thanks for the call. I think he's a guy that we should look to as, you know, we want to fortify the defensive line. That's a guy who's been here, done that, but he didn't do it as much as he should have last year. So I think, yeah, he would be someone I would look forward to as taking a step forward. There are other guys on this roster who've been here longer. You know, you have guys like DeMarvin Leal. They had high hopes. I remember Mike Tomlin talking glowingly about the guy, and he's just not done enough, and neither has Isaiah Loudermilk. Those are guys who could also, you know, blossom late and help them out.
I agree. And really quick on the Cruz thing, I think that from Major League Baseball, he's the kind of the young, before Skeens was on the roster, he was the poster child for Major League Baseball in Pittsburgh. That he has the tools, the athleticism, he has all those things you guys have been speaking of with making him could be a bona fide, like, five-star, you know, tool, you know, baseball player. This is kind of a showcase for him, I think, for, you know, Major League Baseball. As you know, the potential was there in making him kind of that next step to stardom, even though he's not progressing from a day-to-day, you know, aspect.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to be the guy who really turns it up. Thanks, Brian, for the call. He has to be that guy. Offensively, they need him badly. You can't afford to have him just hanging around hitting a home run once every 3 weeks and, you know, making a good throw here and there. He's got to be consistently better than he is. All right, who's next? Austin.
Go to Chris and Hopewell.
Hopewell. I like those Vikings out there. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Bob. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. I just wanted to call about T.J. Watt and his situation. I just feel kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a bad taste in my mouth. I've always been a fan of T.J. Watt, but, you know, I mean, his contract's not even up right now, and I feel like the Steelers would offer him a more than satisfactory, you know, contract. And just that we always wanted to be that extra dollar more and all that kind of stuff. I think it's disgusting. I just wanted to hear your thoughts.
Well, I think, listen, I think whatever offer they have would be a significant increase over what he has been making. But again, this little game that they play, and the agents are part of it too. When you see guys in your same position making more and you think you're better, then the market changes. And he, you know, has every right to chase it, but he does have a year left on his contract. So it's going to get a little bit more contentious than it did the last time. And I think it will. And I think if they're offering him, let's say, $40 million a year, it's not quite what Myles Garrett made, but it's really good. It's a $12 million a year increase, essentially, if you talk about yearly average salary. Why is that not good enough?
It should be.
It should be. But if you're going to play the stupid game about, okay, well, then what you should do is sign your contract, get more than Myles Garrett, and then when Micah Parsons gets more than you, then you go back and demand another. You know, he can't do that. Contracts are contracts. And this is a pet peeve of mine with all sports. I understand the game they play, and I know they're trying to get the best, and it is a short career. I get all of that. But if they're offering a very good contract to you, does it have to be the best for the moment?
Yeah, and Myles Garrett's only a $22, $23 million cap hit this year at age 30. How about 2029? His cap hit will be $65 million.
And who knows what he's going to be like as a player then?
That'll be at 34. His contract goes through his age 35 season, where he'll be $58 million as a cap hit. What I'm basically getting with this is, look, they signed Garrett to a $21.5 million signing bonus. The Steelers could ultimately move around some of this money so that it appears that he's making more money than Garrett, or that he's getting more guaranteed money than Garrett based on the signing bonus and based on what they guarantee him and where they guarantee it to him as in the rate of the contract. I still think that he should just take 37, 38, and if they guarantee most of it, like even through the third year, that should be good enough.
All right, if that's guaranteed money he's after, I think they can meet someplace where it makes sense. Let's go out to Jeff in Cheswick before we take a break and get an Austin headline. Jeff, what's up?
Hey, just a quick take on the same topic. And I'll just say real quick, I mean, what do you think about the, you know, you guys talked about it's ego, it's all, they're just, you know, selfish or whatever. But what do you think about the responsibility they feel as, you know, I know players are tight and anybody who's played kind of has this brotherhood, but just like raising the collective bar, how much do you think that plays into it, that they just hold out for these contracts just to raise the bar and get more money for everyone? Because I think there's a feeling that the owners make all this money and the players, you know, are there for a short time and they're risking their lives. Yeah,
and that's all true. You know, that's all true, Jeff. But at the same time, I don't think that's driving TJ Watt. He's not looking to worry about anybody else. He's worried about himself. And that's fine. Like you say, it is a short career. You put your body at risk. I'm not denying them anything. I wonder about quibbling over, you know, maybe $1 million at the end when they're upping their offer by $12 million a year. And quite frankly, you know, if it comes down to business, and this is where, you know, if you're internally dealing with this, the Steelers can say to him, and TJ, the last couple of games of the year, you haven't put up the kind of stats that we were looking for at the most critical times or in playoff games, if they want to play that game. And that's where it can get a little dicey, you know, but you have to show your hand, what you're dealing with and why you don't want to go to a certain level. And he can come back and say, well, look what I've done on all these games. And we haven't had a chance to be in a situation in a playoff because we don't have a very good offense. And then all of a sudden this interior conversation becomes a bad one. TJ Watt wants what's fair to him based on the market. And that's the key word, based on the market. If you give him what the market says, which is over $40 million a year, then he'll be happy. I think the Steelers will do this. I do. I think it'll eventually get done. But it's all part of what goes on in this negotiation.
Appreciate you guys.
Have a good day. Thanks, Jeff. One more before we go to break. That would be Dave, since he's talking about the same thing. Hey, Dave, what's up?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I wanted to talk about the trade deadline. Are you not allowed to trade a player before the deadline?
No, you can trade whatever you want.
Well, I know that, but I just wanted you to verify that.
Yeah, the deadline is the deadline. And after that, it changes. So you have to make a deal before that. You can do it now. You can do it 2 weeks from now. But once it gets to July 31st, that's when you have to get it done if you're going to make one.
All right. Well, let's take a team like the Dodgers. Their pitching's a mess. Everybody's injured. Why wouldn't you want Mitch Keller right now?
I'm sure the Mets have an injured pitching staff. They would be also interested. There are other teams in the same category.
Why the wait?
Well, you got to play the game. You got to play the negotiation game. If I'm Ben Cherington, I'm not moving on any offer until I find all teams interested. And if I could jack up the rate because of it, then I'm going to wait as long as I can. I'm going to play that hand as long as I can.
I agree with that.
I'm not taking the first offer that comes.
If it was my team going through that, I'd want to get the best possible I could 6 weeks before the trade deadline.
I understand that. So you could have them. You can have them for, yeah, I get that. But it has to, you know, takes two to tango, as they say. So, Dave, thank you for that. We'll see what happens. July 31st is that deadline. And I have a feeling you're going to see some activity for the Pirates. Not sure to what extent, but it may involve people not even on this roster. Future Pirates, they may go that direction to try to help their offense, which has been anemic, and there's no way around that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.